Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Parties that would make Jay Gatsby blanch blazed a trail through the cinema and publishing worlds and redefined the zeitgeist as he went. The former iconic editor-in-chief of Vanity Fair, Graydon Carter, has had the kind of career that can best be described as glittering. A literary patron, film producer and restaurateur whose brand of reporting also happened to influence a generation of journalists. Prior to his long tenure at Vanity Fair, Carter put his own spin on satire as co-creator of the beloved Spy magazine, and in 2019 launched Airmail, the weekly dispatch that traverses everything from chateau renovation to foreign reporting and literary criticism. And he isn't stopping there. Graydon is back once again playing host to the stars, teaming up with Warner Brothers CEO David Zaslav to host a dinner and what promises to be one of the most lavish of parties during the Cannes Film Festival. Graydon and Cannes in the spotlight once again. Just don't call it a comeback. When I spoke to him earlier today, he'd just arrived on the Côte d'Azur, and I began by asking him about reclaiming his social crown at Cannes.
No. I'm neither reclaiming any kind of crown I ever had, and I think Cannes has never gone away. No, I left Vanity Fair like almost 6 years ago, and we've spent a good part of our life since then down in the south of France. And I decided, my friend David Zaslav, who took over Warner Brothers Discovery, or he runs it, he said, would you like to do a party down there like you did before? And I said, yeah, we'll be there anyway. And so we're going to do it. Now, granted, okay, these are parties that are so fabulous that if I wasn't the co-host, I would never get in myself.
Indeed, that may or may not be true. I think thou doth protest too much. But there is also a serious side to party throwing. What is the business imperative to a big Cannes party or an Oscars party or indeed a Washington Correspondents party?
Well, we don't make it easy to get in. But once you get in, we try to make people feel very comfortable. So David, it's good having the host be up front. And so David Zaslav will be up there in the front like two greeters. We're high-end maitre d's that night. That's what we are.
You're being disingenuous in a way, though, because you're dealing with super successful people. You're dealing with, superstars. You're dealing with some of the richest and most glamorous people in the world. And you're dealing also with a host of people who want to be at the party, but can't be.
Well, this, I know you've been to our dinner here many times. With each table, what I try to do is build have 10 or 15 separate dinner parties at each table. So you try to build like a movie star, somebody interesting, and a writer, and you have a good mix of people from Europe, from America, from England. You really are like a maitre d' for an evening.
Who's your perfect dinner party Cannes guest?
Well, we've got him coming. Robert De Niro is wonderful company. The people at the hotel adore him. He's a great movie star. And he's got a movie here this year with Martin Scorsese and Leonardo DiCaprio. So he's like number one to me.
Talk to me about your Vanity Fair days, because there's a sort of split in opinion about whether you are the co-creator of the satirical magazine Spy, and that is deeply at the heart of who you are as an editor and as a journalist. And then, of course, Vanity Fair, in a way, often the antithesis of that, very much venerating the stars that perhaps Spy would have pulled off their pedestals. Which are you, and how did you go about? I mean, was Vanity Fair your perfect job? Was Spy your perfect job? Or did you manage to bring them both together, do you think, in one place?
Yeah, I think whatever the job you have, you need to become immersed in that world. Vanity Fair, the only time we ever ran stories on movie stars was just on the cover, and that was just to get it off the newsstand, because really the only international human currency in the world are the movies. So we would stick a movie star on it. It was basically like the wrapping on a gift. That once you got through that, it was a very, you know, serious magazine.
In many ways, as you've just pointed out, the ethos behind what Vanity Fair was doing, the ethos behind what Airmail's doing, and indeed the readership that both would appeal to is quite similar.
Well, at a certain point, you know what you know, and this has been my life for the last 30 years. So, you know, I feel that if you're an editor, your job is to engage and entertain and enlighten the reader, sort of the three E's of editing. But you have to be entertaining. So you're largely in the, whether you like it or not, you're in the service business. And if you're not entertaining, people won't read you. So you have to sort of do all three things. And the trick is trying not to be boring.
While you were there, the Me Too movement sort of erupted. And I wondered if you were blindsided by it in the way that many people were. I mean, Harvey Weinstein was a regular guest at you know, your dinners and many other social events in Cannes, obviously. And you know, I mean, I don't think anyone was queuing to be placed next to him. But at the same time, you know, there wasn't really a sense of the monster that he truly was. When did you realize that Me Too was something, that there was something really serious happening?
Well, I had left the magazine before all this started. And Harvey, strange enough, he was one of the two people we banned from our dinners here for being rude to the staff. It was Harvey and Philip Green. Somehow he got invited one year and was rude to the staff, and in fact, rude to one of the other guests. And I sort of cut them off from ever coming again. Harvey, strange enough, lived across the street from me in Greenwich Village, literally right across, he had the house right across the street from me. And he was a decent neighbor. You knew the rumors always, but you assumed, I think some people assumed, that part of this was, you know, in like a version of the old-fashioned casting couch. The things that have come out since are so horrifying. I don't think anybody could have ever imagined it.
Do you think that it's a movement that will right itself and reach a level that's workable? Or do you think that everything has to change?
Things will swing out one way for a while, and then they'll swing back out another way for a while, which is where we are now. And it'll settle in the center on the better, on the closer to the better part of this. Somebody like Ken Friedman, he was just a silent partner in one of my restaurants, but his you know, sins for what they were in his own restaurant, the Spotted Pig, which I had nothing to do with. And Ken was a minor character in all of this. There are much more greater monsters than Ken Friedman.
Obviously, as editor of Vanity Fair and now as creator and co-editor of Airmail, you know, you're in a position of some power. Is it appealing to you, the power of the job?
I try not to ever take myself seriously, but I take my work very seriously. And when I was younger, I felt more comfortable about burning bridges, and yet somehow those bridges managed to heal over the years. But you know, if you had something like Spy magazine, I was in my 30s, and you know, it was a lot of like ugly new money filtering through New York City, and that was our subject. There's something people keep asking me, say, why don't you restart Spy magazine? I said, well, I'm not 36 and angry anymore.
But it's interesting you say that, because you know, Vice Media, BuzzFeed, Huffington Post. They were all the sort of dawn of new media, and some of them, you know, borrowing some of that satirical bent from Spy magazine. But since then, we've seen these huge layoffs at those companies, and Vice Media declaring bankruptcy this week. Where do you think we are in the sort of magazine media firmament?
Spy was like, it was a sophisticated, sort of astringent cocktail. These were just often sometimes either mean or like sort of too gonzo for somebody my age at the time. The legacy magazine business, I think, is going to have a rough future. I think young people really love magazines. They love magazines with high production value, and I think there'll be an appetite for those.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
And would you say that there is, I mean, you know, during Trump, a lot of people shocked and horrified that he managed to become president at all. But a lot of the blame for that, if you will, was sort of laid on the shoulders of a kind of smug liberal elite, and who also failed to understand voters' righteous anger. Would you say that in a way, ML has decided to carry on that same lifestyle platform?
Well, first of all, I've known Trump for 35 years. I did the first major national magazine story on him, and I spent 3 weeks with him. I thought he was a fraud then. I thought he's a fraud now. I did notice at the time that he had very small hands, small for his body. And so at Spy, we sort of borrowed a trick from Private Eye and came up with sort of funny epithets for people. And with Trump, we called him a short-fingered vulgarian, which absolutely drove him nuts. And he, right up until the time he ran for presidency, he would send me photographs of his hands and saying they didn't look too small to him. And I'd say, well, they do look small to me. And that it became part of the debates. It still seems to dog him. And he, in the past, he's threatened to sue me. At the same time, he invited me to two of his weddings. So I never thought he'd be this. I knew he'd be venal. I didn't think he'd be this evil. And I don't think he will get back in again. I think the country is too aware of who he is. And 50% in the middle, they're going to make the decision. And I think they're sick of him. They're sick of the past. They say that everything that he talks about is in the past. I think they're sick of his moral fiber and his whining. Nobody likes a victim. I do think Joe Biden is too old, but he's going to get my vote.
It does seem incredible that a nation like America can have a system whereby someone who's just recently been found guilty of sexual assault can still go ahead and enter a presidential race. I mean, even for us over here with our party gates and so on, there is still a sense that we can take the moral high ground.
When Boris Johnson is the moral high ground, it says a lot about what's going on in the United States right now. I mean, this never would have happened pre-2016. If this was 2013, that person could not run for the presidency. I mean, they're allowed to, but nobody would buy it. You know, it doesn't take much to, you know, a little bit of poison can ruin a lot of water in a well. And Trump is that poison. And it'll take a while before, you know, it drains off and replenishes itself. You'll have a different country in 7 years.
But I do believe that that you have mounted on your wall, either in your home or office, I'm not sure, but a collection of the many tweets that Donald Trump has directed toward you. I mean, you know,
It was my wall at Vanity Fair, and I blew up all the tweets. He had like the 49 of them, and he would call me like sleepy, dopey, grumpy. It basically, he was just going through the seven dwarfs in terms of the adjectives he was calling me. He called me a loser. He says even his wife knows he's a loser. So I had these all blown up, and I had them all along my wall at Vanity Fair, and I still guess it's the only wall he ever built, really. And they're in storage somewhere. I have no idea where they are, but I love the fact that I can drive him crazy.
Are you surprised that there isn't a Democratic candidate that's perhaps, you know, more energetic, more exciting than Joe Biden?
Well, I think Joe Biden is a phenomenal president. I think he's done an extraordinary job. I don't think he should run. And I think he should have said, OK, I'm going to quit while I have a lead and let the field find itself. You're not going to find the candidates who can take his place unless he steps out of the way, and he's just too old.
Graydon, there's been a lot of seismic societal change in the last decade or so, you know, including, as we talked about a moment ago, Me Too and, you know, Jeffrey Epstein, you know, and there was criticism thrown at you and at Vanity Fair over that period. First of all, with Jeffrey Epstein, because of the Vicky Ward case and this suggestion.
First of all, Vicky Ward, personally, you go to war with the journalists you have. I was the first person ever to do a story on Jeffrey Epstein. Nobody on the and at the end, the reporter came in with new information that she thought that was solid, and nobody, not my legal team, not the fact checkers, trusted her. And she could have taken the story elsewhere, but she didn't. I don't think I missed anything.
Tina Brown mounted a sort of summit the other day, which you'll know about in the UK, in the name of Harry Evans. And it was spurred by this sense that investigative journalism is dead and that corporate cowardice is one of the contributors to that.
That's absolute and utter nonsense. I think this has been a golden age of investigative journalism. The New York Post, the Washington Post, the New York Times during the Trump administration, the New York Times now, if you look at ProPublica that did all these stories on Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, I think this is absolutely a golden age of investigative journalism. I don't think it's ever been better.
But what do you think is contributing to it being a golden age then? Because the reason I brought up corporate cowardice was, of course, what you did with the Vicky Ward case was listen to the people you have to listen to when you're running a magazine, which is the lawyers. Yes. And, you know, the bureaucrats, if you will. But you know,
they're not bureaucrats. This is my staff who I trusted and I worked with for 25 years. These weren't bureaucrats. These were editorial staff members.
So that sense of, you know, things being dangerous, litigious, costly is still very much in the ether, particularly when you come to big business.
It's always in the ether. Only a fool runs something that they think libel laws in America are very strict. And I got sued twice. We lost one, Roman Polanski, and we won one, Mohammed Al-Fayed. But it took a year of work on each law case. And the Fayed one was based on a really tough, long form story about him and the way he ran Harrods and how he treated women. So, no, you if you don't listen to your staff on legal matters, your legal editor, you're a fool.
How do you feel about the publishing or the platforms now that publish, if you will, but don't have that same sense of control over what they put out there in the world? I mean, you know, we're currently debating the Online Harms Bill here in the UK. And do you think that there needs to be a correlation between the restrictions on publishing houses and on social platforms that rely on publishing?
Well, if you're accepting advertising and you're running editorial matter, you're a publisher. And you should live by the same rules that everybody else does.
Let's go back to Cannes then, speaking of Old World. Is there a film that you're looking forward to seeing? Will you actually see any films? Because obviously it's a full-time business organising the kind of shindig that you've got in mind.
I'll be honest, I'm not a big fan of film festivals, and I purposely did not bring a tuxedo here, and you need a tuxedo to get in to see anything. And other than this dinner, that's pretty much it for me for the Cannes Film Festival. I'll see these movies when they come out. I'm looking forward to Marty Scorsese's film and to Wes Anderson's film, but I'll see them in movie theaters rather than on the Grand Palais. It's not my thing.
And just finally today, Graydon, we're celebrating the appearance of Martha Stewart, who I'm sure you've come across over the years, in Sports Illustrated at 81, swimsuit wearing. And we're asking our listeners what they'd like to be doing at 80. And, you know, you're still far off, but you've got a decade to go. Can you think of you're a big canoeist, but do you want to, you're still clearly very, very sleeves rolled up in the world of journalism and indeed in the world of films, even though you don't like film festivals. What do you want to be doing at 80? And will you be wearing, Lycra swim shorts?
No, that would never happen ever. No, in fact, my bucket list is so short. I mean, my bucket list largely is losing 4 pounds. I mean, that's at 80, I'd like to be 4 pounds lighter than I am now and yet still breathing. And I feel a great accomplishment. I've got 5 kids. All I want to do is be around my kids and enjoy these waning years of life.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.